Now we come here, actually, to the first bridge that you have to cross over in revival. And this is important. It's all important. Listen to this now. Chapter 15, verse 1. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. He went out to meet Asa, said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord's with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season, Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. Now may I interject this, because I think it's important. The tragedy of the hour is that there is not teaching in the church today. I say this very kindly. We don't need more preachers. You can buy them like bananas by the dozen. But my friend, teachers are few and far between. And that is the thing that is needed. That's what they needed in that day. They did not have a teaching priest. Oh, they had priests, Levites. They were knee-deep in those. But they did not have a teaching priest. And therefore, they were without the law, the Word of God. And when they, in their trouble, did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. Now, it's just that simple, and yet it's just that complicated. My friend, if you mean business with God, he'll mean business with you. When I hear people say, oh, I try to study, I try to pray, I try to do this, and I don't get anywhere. My friend, who are you kidding? May I say to you, when you say that, you're making God a liar. And I have news for you. God's no liar. God says, if you seek me, I'm there. If you mean business with God, oh, search your heart, my friend, today. Do you really want to know God's word? And God's ready to meet you anytime you are ready. Now, will you notice this? When they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he is found of them. And in those times, there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. In other words, this man Asa was beginning to turn to God. Now this prophet encourages him in this to turn to God and explains why they'd had the trouble that they had had, my beloved. They'd had a lot of trouble, a lot of problems. I wonder this. Now, I'm not speaking ex cathedra. I have no inside information. But studying the Word of God here, seeing how God dealt with these people, I'm wondering if one of the reasons today, with all of the smart boys that we have in Washington, and we have discovered that we've had some stupid decisions made. How can such smart boys make such stupid decisions in Washington? Why is it that we can't have law and order? Why is it today we can't really have peace? Why is it that there's lawlessness today? You know why? Let me just venture my opinion. And I base it on the Word of God in this particular passage right here. Because God has been left out. And he's not around Washington today. They don't need him there. Because they've got the smart boy. My friend, in this hour in which we're living, our nation needs God. And that was the problem back here. Now, verse 8. When Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded, the prophet, he took courage, put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he'd taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. And he gathered themselves together in Jerusalem in the third month in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same time the spoil that they had. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and soul. Now, they're turning to God. They're turning to the Word of God. The first bridge that you've got to cross, and there's no way to get over it. They're not running a ferry over this river. You have to cross on God's bridge, and that is a knowledge of the Word of God. This is what characterized all five periods of revival. That was a return to the Word of God. I'm bold enough to state dogmatically that there has never been a revival without a return to the Word of God. There's no detour around the Word of God. There's no substitute for the Word of God. The great spiritual movement in the days of Wesley, my friend, was built around the Word of God. Why, Wesley read the Bible in three languages every morning. Dwight L. Moody, the great revival under him, he began the Bible Institute movement, one of the greatest movements for the study of the Word. And that movement's dying out today. Why? There's a getting away from the Word of God. And it means more than just a superficial familiarity with the Word of God. It's not an artificial vocabulary that a lot of the fundamentalists have today. It's not activity. It's not service. It's not method. It means a real knowledge and love of the Word of God. That is something we got to have. I'm of the opinion that these movements today, God apparently seems to be using some of them. Some of the evangelists, God's using, no question about it. But my friend, I'm disturbed because not a movement or not an evangelist is making the Word of God, and I mean now the study of the Word of God, all important today. I find it very difficult to get these movements and to even get some of our schools interested in studying the Word of God, like we're tempting to do on this program. Oh, they like to take a little text and read a little familiar passage and have a few little devotions. But my friend, to go through the Bible, to study the Bible, to make it primary today, where are they? If you know where they are, let me know. I feel very much alone. A friend of mine says, you're developing an Elijah complex. I guess I am. But I do feel very much alone in these days. My friend, you can't have a real revival unless it's based on the Word of God and people come to know the Word of God. That's the reason we try and teach it here. We hope revival's going to come. We believe this is the route. We'll have to cross over this bridge. Now, we mentioned that this man Asa, and I'll begin reading now at verse 13 of chapter 15. And if you have your Bible, we'll follow there. That whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. They swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting, with trumpets and with cornets. May I say that this was making it, I think, very harsh, but yet there was a ready response to it and a response from the heart, by the way. And this man, Asa, brought about many reforms at that time. Now, in verse 14, they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting, with trumpets and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath. For they had sworn with all their heart, and sought him with their whole desire, and he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. And our whole thought last time was that if you seek the Lord, why, it means that he'll be found of you. Now we come to something here that is quite interesting. We've been talking about there are certain bridges to revival. The first bridge is there must be a knowledge of the Word of God. There must be that emphasis upon the Word of God. That is all important. We come here to a second bridge, and that is scriptural separation. That word separation is one of the most abused, not only words, but teachings that we have. Now listen to him here in verse 16. And also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa, the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove, and Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burned it at the brook Kidron. Now, this is indeed interesting. His own mother was engaged in idolatry. Now, I want you to notice something that's very important. She wasn't a friend of people who were engaged in idolatry. She was engaged in idolatry. That's the reason that he put her aside. Now, if she had had friends and she had been with them and they were idolatrous, that would have been no basis to set her aside. I get a little weary today of these people that because you happen to have been in a meeting years ago with someone whose methods you probably do not approve, but he's preaching the Word of God and God's blessing him, why they feel like that you're not separated. My friend, may I say that today, that's not scriptural separation at all. But I want you to notice the stand of Asa. Now, every successful politician, he lets it be known. That is, he lets all the voters know that he's for mother love. And I tell you, you won't get in any controversy if you raise the question of mother love. The last person a man will turn against is his mother. And mother love is unanimously recognized today. It's approved and applauded. And a man who turns against his mother, no matter who she is or what she's done, he's some sort of a villain. Well, Asa removed his mother. And I'm sure that some of the fundamentalists applauded him for that. But will you notice here that although he put his mother out for engaging in idolatry, removed her from the throne, the place of influence, something else. But the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. Now, Asa himself, you see, was separated unto God, but he permitted these high places. Now, he could have removed them, but he did not. This idea today that we're to straighten out the world and every individual and make them conform to our pattern and come through our little wicket gate is, I think, not separation at all. I think it is the narrowest form of bigotry that we have today, and it's actually not separation. I feel like some folk today ought to get separated from themselves, and that would really be separation. If you want a revival, the place to begin is not by criticizing the other fella, especially somebody God's using. The thing to do, if you want revival, is not to look at the other fellas, for you to get in a room by yourself and draw a circle right around you, get in the middle of the room. Then you get right in the middle of that circle and you say, Lord, begin a revival and let it begin inside this circle. And friends, as far as you and I are concerned, that is where revival will have to start.